A look at the South Bank on the St. John's River in downtown Jacksonville as the Jags prepare for week 9 in the National Football League, just a mile or so upriver at Everbank Field. The Jaguars ready for the New York Jets. Welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Plenty to get to today. The stretch run beginning, the final 9 games of the season start this week. There'll be 9 in a row to finish the regular year, and then maybe some. We'll get to that coming up. Blake Bortles, his live press conference, we'll carry that right here. And then special guest Denard Robinson, Jaguars running back, will join us here on set as well.
Did you just guarantee the post?
I didn't. I said maybe. Maybe. That's going to be a big topic around here, of course.
Buscelli's guaranteed everything. Buscelli's guaranteed about 3 straight Super Bowls, right?
I think he has. He's already got his ring size in and everything. Stretch run beginning. 9 games to go. The Jags are 2-5. The schedule setting up a bit. The next few opponents have some issues. The Jags, of course, still have some issues also. Let's not overplay that. But the division right now, hey, I mean, it's really one of the weakest, if not the weakest, in the league.
Well, as you said, JP, it all sets up. And we want to clarify, Jaguars are 2-5, Texans 3-5, and the Colts 3-5. None of that's good. And it's not as if the Jaguars have played particularly well from a winning perspective. At the same time, this team still very much believes that it's ascending, that it's good, that it's close, that it is very close to doing things the right way to close out games. So if their perception of themselves is correct, then all of a sudden they have this incredible opportunity that in most seasons, in most divisions, you would be already out of it by now. You'd be 2-5. Well, now they're a young team that really gets a second chance. You know, it's almost a fourth season under this regime, if you will, because easily they could have played themselves out already. They haven't. So now if they are improving, if they are good, if they can close games, then you can turn doing those things into a playoff appearance. Now, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but from their perspective, there's no reason in the world that they shouldn't be, I don't want to say thinking that, because I know Guest doesn't want to think about playoffs.
Right.
But there's no reason in the world that that shouldn't be attainable if they are what they think they are.
You've written about this a lot. A big part of getting to that point and improving and winning ball games is going to be getting to opposing quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars haven't done a lot of that this year. They did last week, 4 sacks 2 weeks ago in London, 4 sacks of E.J. Manuel and the Bills, but they had to bring extra pressure to do that. This week, you don't know who really the quarterback's going to be yet. Fitzpatrick has a hand injury. Geno Smith was banged up last week as well, so they haven't really announced who's going to play. Either way, you got to get to the quarterback somehow in some way, and it sounds like pressure is going to be the way to do it.
It's interesting that as much as we've talked about the lack of pass rush and they haven't gotten pressure with 4 very well, if you look at their stats, they're not at the bottom of the league in pass rush. They've actually have, I think, more sacks than the Jets do coming into this. So they've been able to create a little bit, but this team, it's not the MO to create pressure with exotic blitzes. You can tell when Gus Bradley talks about it, he's willing to do it, he's willing to game plan it, doesn't love it. It's just not his way. He prefers to get it with 4, play 7 on the back end, maybe be creative with a 5th. But at this point, the reality is we all saw in London, they got pressure when they brought Colvin, when they brought a few wrinkles that we hadn't seen before. I don't think there's any question that that's going to be part of it. At the same time, when you listen to Gus right after that London game, still sort of said, hey, we did it, but we gave up some stuff on the back end.
Right.
So I don't think this team is going to go the direction of all-out craziness, exotic. You know, you're not going to see him bring 3 safeties. You're not going to see just off-the-wall weird stuff. But without question, they had some effectiveness. You know Colvin can do it. There's some guys who can do it. So you're going to see it, but I still think most of what you're going to see is bringing a 5th guy like Dan Scuda.
Yeah, live by the blitz, die by the blitz sometimes.
Well, and the fans' counter to that and the logical counter to that is you're dying anyway if you're, and it's just slow if you're not bringing some pressure. You know, you don't want to see situations like Brian Hoyer with the Texans just sitting there having all day to throw, pick you apart. That's almost a guaranteed loss. So why not blitz? They bought into that a little bit and blitzed more against the Bills. So I think you'll see that more, but I just don't think it's going to be Katie bar the door.
JP Shadrick, John Oser, Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles weekly press conference coming up, and then Denard Robinson will join us here on set. The offense, they've got to keep the ball rolling somehow. Still some inconsistency. Mm-hmm. You had a run of three and outs in the second half of the Bills game. Again, that's cropped up here or there after getting some things done early in that game. Of course, the defense helped them out with some scores on the other side. But then when it counted, they drive back down the field. You still have a pick six here or there. Just some inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. How do you level that out moving forward?
I think you level it out with maturity. I think you level it out over time. I think you'll level it out. It'll be a process. You're still going to see it crop up, but you want to see it crop up less and less and less. Interesting about the offense, and you obviously bring it up because there were the three and outs, and then you had that period where there were three and outs, and then Blake Bortles pick six interception.
That's right.
Yeah. And boy, all of a sudden you haven't gotten anything, and then you've given the other team. So you're minus seven on offense. At the same time, while that's not good, if you look at the totality of that game, you had three drives where you got touchdowns. You had another drive where you drove the length of the field and got to the one-yard line. I would make the case that maybe was Blake's worst game of the year.
Yeah.
At the same time, you had three touchdowns, and you had another that if Toby Gerhardt gets one run, or meaning now 1 yard, is a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's four touchdowns in his worst game of the year. His worst game of the year last year, we were talking about a field goal with 9-3 and outs. I mean, so yes, as you say, it's got to be smoothed over. It's got to continue to get better for them to get to the point where they're a top six, top seven offense that can go win shootouts consistently where they're putting up numbers. But what an improvement. If that's your worst game of the year is Blake Bortles and you come off and you've essentially created four touchdowns because they played well enough on the other drive to get the touchdown.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that's improvement. I don't think you expected it to go from 10-17 last year, meaning his touchdown interception ratio, to where you're putting up and competing in 52-49 games. He's not going to be Drew Brees in 1 year.
Good challenge this week, too. Mm-hmm. Any offense, a lot of times, could have trouble against this Jets defense. The third best defense total in the league, eighth mm-hmm. against the pass, best against the run. It's a group that knows what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball.
However, in the last 2 weeks, hasn't been as good as it was in the first It's their 4-3, so the first five games.
That's right.
And they played New England in one of those games. So you sort of, I guess you throw the stats out the window because they're going to move the ball on anybody right now. But they didn't stop the run particularly well against Oakland. And Antonio Cromartie gave up two touchdowns against Oakland. So it's not as if this defense is absolutely playing well enough where the Jaguars should be looking at the game plan board and saying, we've got nothing. You know, I've got nothing that's going to work. Mm-hmm. So you would think that Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, I don't want to take Allen Robinson completely out of the game, assuming he'll be guarded by Revis, but you also would expect him to be at least somewhat limited. But Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, Brian Walters, outside of Revis, teams in recent weeks have been able to move the ball on the Jets. The fascinating thing is the run game. The Raiders game, I think it was 118 yards last week against this team. They ran when they wanted to run. Mm-hmm. T.J. Yeldon has run for over 100 yards in two of his last three games. Is that running game for the Jaguars starting to get to what they want it to be? This is maybe the biggest test, the toughest test for that group of the season.
Yeah, it looked good last week for sure, or 2 weeks ago against the Buffalo Bills before the bye. Some injury notes that you'll hear this week. Zane Beatles with a sprained foot and Marquise Lee with a hamstring. Those guys will be question marks all week long. Let's start on the offensive line. Zane mm-hmm. Beatles, the left guard, you know, that's been a question mark this past week. It was banged up the last game. What are the options otherwise?
Well, you've got Luke Bawenko and you've got Tyler Shatley. And I guess you would think Bawenko goes in first. He's sort of the guy who's been the swing guy. I think either of those guys are okay options in that spot. My gut is that you probably don't see Zane Beatles. He hasn't practiced since the Buffalo game, so we'll see.
Let's go down the hallway. Blake Bortles speaking with the media on Wednesday.
Oh.
Tad will get it for you. You know he will.
Oh, you see him stare at it?
Yeah, he's still, he just did it again. Bad.
I'll talk to the Jets front.
You know, super talented. Obviously, getting Richardson back, you know, kind of allows them to get back into some of what they want to do. You know, so they got four or five guys up front that are big guys. You know, kind of big run stoppers. You know, clog holes and get after the passer. So they do a good job. And then the scheme obviously kind of fits the personnel that they have. So it's definitely a good group. You know, it's kind of a little similar to the group last week in Buffalo, or 2 weeks ago in Buffalo. You know, good front four, good front seven. So it'll be a challenge.
Could you tell him, Phil, what went wrong with your defense last week, or what Oakland attacked, or what they did?
Yeah, you know, I thought, Oakland had a good plan. You know, they did, kind of everything, really well. They ran the ball well. They threw the ball well. You know, they got movement up front, on the Jets' good defensive line. So it was impressive to watch, So I think, there's kind of some things you could take here and there from different teams. But, I think overall we're going to, be who we are and do what we do best.
When the Jet players are ever low for them defense, can you see that on film?
It's hard to tell. We don't know those guys personally or, what their attitudes are, how they play the game. Obviously there were some missed tackles and stuff, but I think that happens in every game, So, I'm sure, whatever their problems are, they'll correct them in-house and get things fixed.
The Revis Island thing, how much do they use it in zone?
You can tell watching him, he's an aggressive corner. He loves to play man. He loves being, press coverage. And he's good at it. He's been good at it for many years. So they do switch him up. They'll do some different things and back him up a little bit and play him in zone. But I think he likes playing man. And, as a corner and a competitor, I'm sure most guys do. So it's good to watch. I think our guys, are excited for the opportunity with him and Cromartie, two good corners. So I think it'll be fun. A good chance to go against, two guys that are proven corners and, have been around for a long time.
Sides, or do they?
They do a little both. Revis has matched at times. He hasn't at other times. So I think we'll kind of go out there and within the first series, figure out what their plan is.
How much is the down?
Go ahead.
What's the key for you when you're going against Revis? Have to be exceptionally accurate?
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing is timing and accuracy. It's definitely important every week, but it's certainly important this week with two experienced guys, on both sides with, those two. So I think, it'll have to be, good, quick decision making and getting an accurate ball there on time.
You looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, I think so. It's an opportunity to play against two really good guys. Like I said, that have been around for a long time, seen a lot of football and made a lot of really good plays. So it's exciting to watch, and I think our guys are excited for the challenge.
How much did the downtime help your shoulder?
Good. I felt fine going in. Wasn't any limitations or anything. But it's kind of good for everybody. Get a week off, recover. Get a chance to sit down and look a little bit, and kind of perfect timing to be able to look. A game short of halfway through the season and where we're at offensively. Kind of improvements and stuff we need to make.
More along that line, when you talk to Greg and Nate during this week, do you focus on a specific area or two, or is it a broad?
Yeah, I kind of went into it and wanted to just say, okay, when we came back from bye week, what'd you watch? You don't want to say, I watched a lot of stuff. These are the couple of things I watched. Paid attention to situational football. How do we get better? How do we improve? How do we? And it's cool because you see, where we've been good at. We've been good in every area at some point during the season. We just haven't been able to put them all together. So I think, how do we consistently become a good red zone team? How do we become a good consistent third down team? Because we've shown glimpses and potential of doing it every week. So I think finding out ways to do that every week.
Opening drive this year, 6 points, one touchdown. Is that just fluky, or have you focused on that and get a better start?
Yeah, it's definitely, Ole talks about it all the time, being able to start fast. So it's what we want to do. It's definitely kind of our makeup and what we preach and who we want to be, So I think we've done a good job and we practice it. We go in the first play of every period. We want it to be a good explosive play, something positive. So it's I wouldn't say for any rhyme or reason why we haven't, had success on the first drive, but it's definitely something we want to get better at.
Are all those plays scripted, most of them?
Yeah, most of them are. Yep. Yeah. I had a couple of times, had a long touchdown on him. A couple of times where he fell down, lost his footing. But I mean, guys like that, you expect to be good. You expect them to make plays. So you can't really, look into much into them getting beat. Because I think, those are big playmakers and they're, probably going to be in the right spot at the right time.
A lot is made of Revis and Cromartie.
We have the Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. We're joined by Jaguars running back Denard Robinson. Are you claiming the running back title these days? Is that your official position now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, I have to claim that. And that's what I want to be right now.
Okay, running back Denard Robinson is with us. I got to start with this because we didn't have a chance to get you a couple weeks ago. How much grief have you taken over the Michigan loss to Michigan State?
A lot. I mean, everybody's been coming up to me, and I had to wear one of his shirts.
Oh,
that was kind of disappointing.
Really?
Yeah.
Michigan State shirt.
Yeah, we made a bet that you know, if I lost, I had to wear one. So that was the case.
Is there photographic evidence?
I don't think so.
There's not going to be, apparently. Yeah, that was a tough one for you guys. We know the feeling, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's get to this team now. A little momentum for this Jaguars team. Do you believe in momentum after what happened with the win in Wembley and then the bye week and all that, the comeback win there? Do you believe in momentum?
Oh, I think so. I think so. That win in Wembley, it kind of give you momentum and give you that emotion of saying, like, okay, we can do this. We can keep going. We can keep stacking them up. And, you know, they give us a little motivation to keep going.
There's, I don't know if you look at the standings and all that stuff in the division and all that, and all the talk right now about the AFC South, but the Jags are a half game out. Mm-hmm. Do you look at that at all? Is there is there focus on that? What do you guys focus on as a group now, the back half of this season?
We got to focus on ourselves and focus on the team we got coming up this week. Yeah, that's Jets right now. So we got to focus on them and make sure we do the right things to prepare ourselves to play against these guys, because these guys are a pretty good team.
Yeah, this Jets team is really good, especially on defense and especially against the run. What do they do so well on defense?
Man, they got a front five. If they front – when you want to say the backers too, their guys are tough. I mean, they are giving up 78 yards a game right now, so rushing yards. So that's tough for a running back, you know. So it's going to be tough sledding, but you know the guys up front got to handle business so we can do different things in the backfield.
You know, it was the run game last week. TJ had a big game in, yeah. 2 weeks ago. And I keep saying last week, 2 weeks ago in London had a big game. But there's different pieces of this run game, and it's starting to just overall find a little bit of a groove and open up a little bit around here. Why is that?
I think the offensive line doing a great job, and I think the passing game is really opening up. And, you know, they complement each other. And, you know, TJ's running the ball well, and he's finding the holes like no other. I mean, he kind of got a lot of patience. He's patient back there, and once you see the crease, he hits it. So, you know, seeing different things like that's how you develop a running game.
Denard Robinson is with us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. How do you get back involved more in the game? How do you, because you hadn't been used a lot recently. You come off the knee injury. That's part of it, I believe. But how do you get back involved a little bit more?
I just get back in the groove of things. I mean, going to practice and going to show guys that I could do different things and just being a part of the offense. I mean, and even on special teams, I could be a part of that. You know, so different things that I could show guys that I could be a part of the offense and make plays. And that's what I am, a playmaker.
Social media. I know you're a social media guy, right?
Yeah.
At Denard X.
Yep, Denard X.
That's your handle. It still doesn't have a blue check, last I checked.
Yeah, I don't believe in blue checks.
You don't believe in blue checks? What is your philosophy behind the blue check? You don't believe in it?
I think I'm going to be me regardless, without the blue check or with the blue check. So.
Fair enough. All right. Let's get to some questions from social media. This is from Vuk77. Why do you wear the number 16?
My brother. That was something that he wore, and I always wanted to be like him, so I wore number 16.
And you still have it in the NFL, which is, I mean, it's rare for a running back to have a number in the teens. It doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, it's a blessing. I mean, you know, I am the third quarterback on the depth chart. I got to use that as an excuse, and I think I can play a little receiver a little bit. Okay. So I am the offensive weapon. That's how I feel.
Oh, you still – wait a minute. You claim running back.
I still feel like I'm the offensive weapon, but I'm claiming running back. That's the main position right now.
Okay, I think that answered it. Cameron Seymour asking, how come you don't keep your laces off anymore?
My shoelace is always untied. So, you know, that's something that I've been doing since I was 5 years old.
That's not going to change, though.
Oh, yeah, it would never change.
Isn't that the rule, though? Is that a league rule? You have to have them tied?
I haven't heard of it. Hope I don't get a fine, right?
So, you know, you might now if somebody's watching the show. Sorry, Denard. I apologize for that. But that's the name of your foundation, the Shoelace Foundation?
The Shoelace Foundation. And, you know, we got a lot of things moving right now. And we actually might be bringing – we actually are going to take somebody to Tennessee to come to the game and show them a different environment. I mean, it's one of our incentives is brighten up your horizon. So growing up, you know, I didn't have too many chances to travel somewhere and go see different places. Only thing I seen was in my city. So I want to show other kids the different light of seeing a different city and being around different culture and stuff like that. So learning a little bit more about other places.
Nashville is a different culture, that's for sure.
Yes, it is.
It'll be an interesting trip for them. Pretty Princess XOXO asking, what do you do for fun in Jacksonville when not training and practicing? Been around here a few years now. What do you like to do here?
I like seeing live music. B-Eazy is one of the groups that I like following.
B-Eazy, yeah.
B-Eazy, that's a band. They rock out all the time. So I like going to hang out and see, watching them play live.
What's your music then? I mean, it doesn't seem – is that your – what do you listen to?
I listen to all types of music. My favorite rapper is Lil Wayne and Ace Hood. I like
now,
R&B.
Does B-Eazy play Lil Wayne?
Oh, no, no, no. They kind of like sing. They do a lot of sing, R&B singing. They kind of do like some art – reggae music, so a lot of different things like that. So I like rocking out with them.
Now, that'd be a really good band if they were that well rounded to play Lil Wayne, right?
I mean, sometimes they do drop some rap music, though.
Okay, well, good to know. Denard Robinson is with us. A few other social questions. This is from Alden Andrews. Was the transition from quarterback to running back a challenge? You changed at Michigan originally.
It was tough. I mean, at Michigan, I still was playing quarterback a little bit and then doing a little bit of running back. But when you got to the NFL, you get to the highest level of the game and you got to change your whole position. And it was tough. It was tough because, you know, you're going against the best of the best and they're here and they're ready to play. They've been playing their position forever. So it's kind of tough. But when you have like guys like Mojo and Justin Forsett in the room helping you out and Toby, these guys are helping me develop as a running back, you know, and seeing the different holes and seeing the different things to take those steps to be a good running back. So those guys really helped me out.
Part of learning that is doing it, though, too. You have to go out there and play, right?
Oh, yeah. Experience always a big teaching point.
Denard Robinson is with us. Last night, the hometown huddle from the United Way, you were out locally helping some kids from Highland Middle School learn the game of football. You have a big smile on your face about it. You love this kind of stuff, right?
I love giving back, man. That's one thing that I always told myself. If I ever get an opportunity, I'm going to use my platform to give back. And just going out there with the kids was so much fun last night. I mean, we worked up a sweat last night, but it was great just being back and giving back to Highlands Middle School and being a part of Live United.
Promoting health and wellness among kids. I mean, you had a bunch of teammates out there, too, right? Yeah. Who all was there with you? Remember?
Alan Hearns, Craig Lawson, Telvin Smith, A.J. Cann, Sam Young, Brian Walters.
Wow. The big hitters came out for that.
We had some people out there, right?
Yeah, that sounds like a fun one. And watch for the video coming up on Jaguars.com a little bit later. Let's finish with this. The next step for this team, 2-5, coming out of the bye week. Everybody's rested, relaxed, ready for the stretch run here. The schedule's set up pretty nice. What's the mindset of this team right now? Where does this team – is everything still out in front for this group?
Definitely. I think a lot of stuff is out in front of us. I know, and everybody believes that we have a chance to – on the AFC South, like Coach said, and that's one of the things that he always told us, and that's what we believe, and everybody in this room feel that same way, and we all putting the work in to do that. So I think this is something that we want to chase out there, and we want to do it to our best ability.
Own the AFC South. You heard it here first. Denard Robinson, good to see you, man.
All right, appreciate it.
There he is, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Join us on Thursday Night Football here at Everbank Field, the Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans, the Bold Rush. November 19th, the Jags host Mike Mularkey and the Titans. Use your game ticket for entry to the tailgate with a live concert, craft beer fest, and the NFL Network pregame show. For tickets, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Our thanks to John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. Of course, you heard from Blake Bortles down the hallway in his weekly press conference. Great to see Shoelace as always. Denard Robinson, thank you for your questions and for watching. And for everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.